Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey. A journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning, the show can be contagious.
Hello and good evening. Welcome to this one-hour inspirational program, which is a component of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. We're so glad that you've taken time out to join us here tonight. We're bringing the show live to you from South Hill, Virginia. This is a beautiful town out this way. It's very nice. It's a lot of land. If you all haven't had a chance to get out here, I certainly encourage you to see some of God's green nature out here. It's quite beautiful. But we've got a very deep show for you tonight, and I don't want to miss out on sharing a lot of stuff with you all and giving our callers a time to chime in. And remember, if you can keep your comments 20 seconds or less, we will be able to get to as many calls as we possibly can, and we have some scenarios that we're going to be jumping off on tonight as well. I want to go ahead without further ado and bring in Lady C tonight. Lady C, I'm hoping that we're off whatever we were on last night. All of us were probably on something because we were really popping last night. Lady C, welcome to the broadcast this evening. It's always a pleasure to have you.
Hello, everybody. I don't know if we're off everything we were on last night. I'm going to be real. I guess I'm still hyped from last night because last night was a great show, you know?
Oh, yes, exactly.
So
and
hopefully
you started
some of the other cause, huh?
Yeah, and you started all the mess last night. You did it, Lady C. It wasn't me. It wasn't my fault, but you started it. You and Miss J. And we're waiting for Miss J to chime in.
I think it was all Miss J. I don't think I had nothing to do with it. It was all her.
Okay. All right. Okay, we're going to ask you to stand by, Lady C. Let's go ahead and bring in Sir Benny. Sir Benny, it's a pleasure to have you. Sir Benny, the women were really, it was like the War of the Roses last night. It's always a pleasure to have you here with us this evening.
Thank you. Thank you. It was a pleasure. I'm thankful for those women that were on the show last night. You guys brought up some very open and transparent questions, so I'm glad you let us all men all know how y'all really think and how y'all really feel. So kudos to you.
Yes, absolutely. You know, I even though tonight I know it's our spiritual show, but I kind of get the feeling, Sir Ben, that it's going to carry over. Some of that is going to carry over into tonight's broadcast. What are you feeling that too?
Absolutely. And, you know, they brought back a blast from the past when she said, well, Benny, you said.
Uh-huh. Hotel, motel, holiday. All right. Miss J, we're going to go ahead and bring you in. Miss J, it's been said that you started a lot of this here last night. And, you know, I tend to agree with that. Miss J, it's welcome, and it's nice to have you on with us as well.
Hello, everybody. Glad to be here again. And it was a no-hold-back night, so I'm looking forward to another great discussion.
All right, all right. We're going to invite God into our show tonight, and maybe that'll make the difference tonight. Father, we thank you for your blessings. Be with us tonight and help us to have a good show and take from here something that you would have us have. In Christ's name I pray, amen. All right, Miss Let me start out tonight. We're talking about how to love. I mean, you know, finding the strength to love the unlovable. Let me start with you, Lady C, and ask the question. Have you ever really tried to love somebody who you may have once loved, and then you discovered that you just couldn't seem to love that person anymore, but in your heart of hearts, you knew that you were required to love them? Like
okay,
an ex-boyfriend,
so,
an ex-husband, or somebody?
I'm going to say this here. I can't say that because there's a difference between love and in love. I never experienced the I just don't love you part. You know?
Right.
Now, falling out of love, I've experienced, you know? Or never falling in love, I've experienced. But saying I just don't love you at all, I have not. Because everybody I've encountered, I love. And I still love them till today.
Okay, so, Lacey, you've been married before. Is that fair? Is that right?
Yes.
Okay, so, Lacey, are you saying that you're still in love with your ex-husband? I mean, I'm just asking about what you said. That's all. You know, because sometimes people come on the show. Go ahead.
I love him, but I can't say I was ever in love with him. Okay, it's the whole story behind it. Okay, when I got married, you know, I mean, of course, you know, I knew he had everything I needed, you know. I grew up in a Christian home. You know, I grew up in a Christian family that says it's better to marry than to burn. So in my mind, I didn't want to sit there and shack up with somebody. So
wait a minute.
He asked me to marry him. I took his hand in marriage.
Well, so wait a minute. Wait a minute. You're starting already tonight, Lady C. And you're saying, first of all, you married a man that you weren't even in love with. Do you all have kids?
Yes, we have two beautiful ones.
Right. So you were never in love with those children's father, but you married him because he had everything you needed? Is that what I'm hearing you say?
We can grow together. He had everything I needed, and I knew we can grow together. And in my heart of hearts, I felt like I could one day fall in love, but it just didn't work out.
Oh, my goodness. Lady C, you started tonight. We're going to ask you to stand by for a second. Miss, hold on. Benny from the block, let's bring you in here. Benny from the block, are you hearing what I'm hearing, Benny?
I am absolutely hearing him. I am
so,
hearing him.
I mean, it's like, you know, Benny from the block, you're married, and would you... I don't want you to incriminate yourself because we do not want to be responsible for pots and pans being hit upside anybody's head. So if your wife is close by,
the way I'm already incriminating.
Yeah, all right. Then you know what? Then it's okay. So listen, would you want your wife to feel that way that she's with you because you have everything that she needs and not in love with you?
I know for a fact that it happened. I've experienced that before. And that is just a fact of life. And a lot of times you don't always know that going into the situation, but sometimes that just happens. And, you know, people bring in their own personal, their personal emotions and feelings and thought about life based on what they've already experienced. And a lot of times those are real issues. I mean, that's just a fact of life.
Wow. Well, Benny from Block, I'm so sorry that that happened to you. Miss J, let me bring you in. Miss J, come on now. If you have a husband and he just married you because, you know, you're sort of well off, are you okay with that? And he tells you he loves you, but his actions does not show that. Are you okay with that?
Well, if I knew that he married me for that purpose, I probably wouldn't have married him for that. But if I did not know he married me for my money, no, I would not be okay with it. And he was pretending he loved me. I've heard a lot of people say something. So a lot of people don't be in love starting off, but they say they grow together. They love each other, but they grow together to be in love. I don't know whether that's what Lady C was saying too, you know.
Right.
But I know that happens.
All right, let me go back and bring Lady C in once again. Lady C, I mean, you put it out there. Lady C, did you all grow in love like you had hoped to? Because it doesn't sound like you did because he's your ex now.
No, we did not grow in love with each other. I not on my part. You know what I'm saying? I know he loves me to death. He lets me know all the time. He loves me. Yes, and he still loves me. He wants me back. But, you know, he's my best friend now. We talk about everything together, you know?
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. So he, did you ever tell him? I bet you I can say this.
He knows.
He knows that you were never in love with him?
Yep, he knows everything. You know, I'm a person, I speak from my heart, but I speak from my heart out of love, so he understands.
So when he told you once or several times, he says, I love you, what did you do? You just said, I love you back just for the sake of saying that?
No, I loved him. I told him I loved him back.
But you were, but you weren't in love with him, so you lied to him.
No. There's a difference between being in love, and I could tell you I love you, but does that mean I'm in love with you? No. I could tell Lady J I love you, but does that mean I'm in love with her? No.
But we're talking about your husband that you took vows with, but ladies, we're going to ask you to stand by. Miss J, can you possibly... I mean, I heard you say earlier that you can't see yourself if you know going into the marriage that you can't love. If that person doesn't love you, you're not going to marry them. But what about if someone says, well, your best friend says, well, can't they grow on you? How do you feel about that, Ms. Shane?
They can only grow on you if you're compatible. I mean, if you have nothing in common, moths don't grow on everything, right? I don't know what it don't grow on, but I'm sure it doesn't grow on everything. And that's the way that would be. If we have no chemistry or not compatible, you can't grow on me. You would just be there. So, you know, you can't grow on everything, you know, if you don't have nothing in common. That's the way nothing in common.
All right.
Well, to answer that question, moss will grow on oak trees, and it's beautiful and majestic. But if moss gets on like a ficus or a hibiscus or any other beautiful plants already existed, it kills it. It will kill it immediately. It's just a matter of time. So moss can be a great thing on one tree, and it can kill a beautiful tree.
Mm. All right, so, Sir Ben, let me ask you this question.
A bad marriage can kill you. It can really hurt you. That's a good example.
Right, it is. It is. A bad marriage can destroy you. So... having said that, Sir Ben, let me ask you this question then. How would you identify someone who's unlovable? Or could you actually identify somebody who's unlovable?
Well, usually unlovable people are people who have no real understanding of what love is. That means that everything in their lives is based on something that they can hold tangible, a car, a house, diamond, clothes, shoes, money, their job, their children. Mm-hmm. Those things are usually very, very tangible to them. And so because of what kind of environment they've grown in, where they have never experienced love, never seen love, never had someone just on a regular basis say, I love you. And that's a seed. See, love is a seed that you plant, and if you till it and you nurture it correctly, it'll produce an incredible, amazing response, which is a beautiful flower, tree, rose, whatever you want to call it. But if that is never planted, then all you get is what we call sand. And it doesn't matter what you put in sand, it ain't going to grow. You just put it in there, it just falls. It'll look pretty for a couple of days or even a year or two, but it never grows. It just stays there. And so they talked about that's my 20 seconds. Okay.
All right. So, and I'm going to stay with you on that one because we talked about cultivating and fertilizing the love. And so if you're able to do that, then it's possible that it can grow. But is that the way you really want to start out? I mean, just growing with someone? It's almost like your parents can pick your mate for you, your companion for you. You know, that's what old traditions were in some countries and cultures.
And if you think about that, they were not picking a mate because of the love that mate may have had. They were picking that mate because that mate either had a financial interest within the family that could take their daughter or whomever and make their family grow financially, grow with wealth or grow with land. So
it was not necessarily done out of love. It was done out of, it was like a bartering system. I'm giving you this, and you're going to give us this. That's why they use the word dowry. You pay money for the hand of that particular daughter.
Right. Of course. Of course. So, wow. So unlovable. Let me go to Lady C for a second and ask her to bring in. Can you identify anyone that could be unlovable? For example, how do you expect a woman to love a man who's walked out on her and their children, and then he goes and takes care of another woman and her children? I mean, could you still love him, and he doesn't do anything to give support or provide any type of support?
You could still love him. You just got to come to the acceptance that he's not going to be yours.
Okay.
But does that make him 100% unlovable? No, because when you're in love with somebody, you can forgive them and understand that he's not going to be yours. He's not going to be with you.
Right.
Now, would I be upset? Would I be angry? Would I blow off the roof? Yes, but I still love him.
Right. And if he needs you, and he wants to flirt with you on occasion because he's not happy over there on the other side where he left you for her, would you be there to demonstrate your love for him if you're still in love with him?
If I'm still, I'll probably flirt, but it ain't going to go no further than that.
Wow. So that's interesting.
Okay, let me break down flirting.
Okay, go ahead.
When I say flirt, that means playful flirt.
Right.
Not flirting to get you where you want to be.
Right. Okay. I understand that. I certainly do. Sir Ben, let me bring you in. Would you want to be, let's call flirt, equated to teasing. Would you want a woman to find herself teasing you when you know that you want that woman and then you discover her to be unlovable?
No, I don't want anybody who's unlovable. That's just death. It's a slow death, but it is death. And in the next 15 seconds, what I would say is you want somebody who you can have a talk with, share things with. You got to be able to have a vision, and even if they don't understand your vision, they can see your vision. You got to have someone who's not afraid to take a chance to step out there into the unknown with you without questioning every turn, twist, decision, thoughts. And most important, you got to have someone that honors you and doesn't dishonor you. So with all that being said, if they have all those qualities, it is virtually impossible for that person to be unlovable. Unlovable people are so self-consumed by what the next person is saying or thinking about them. That's all they're thinking about. Their response is not to listen to growth. Their response is to just respond. If you say apple, they're going to say orange. Why? Well, it just was in my mind. If you say love, they go, why? It's always going to be an opposite of what you would expect. So unlovable people are just very, very hard to grow with, to learn with, to just be in love with them, because there comes a point in time that you can love with everything you got, and they're still going to reject you in the end.
So how do you find the strength to love them? How do you find the strength, or do you?
You find the struggle is in the strength. So if you're trying to love an unlovable person, that means you have strength to struggle with them, and the strength is built in you. We have the power, but we just don't always recognize we have the power. So that's why they say there's a term they use, love conquers all. If you are a conqueror, which is we all are conquerors, you have the ability to conquer that love with that person. Now, if that person is still rejecting you after you've done all that you can, you've stood it, you said everything you can, then there comes a point in time where you have to release, because you understand that no one goes into anything with the illusion that they want to lose or they want to be, I'm not going to win this situation. Men are predators. We hunt, we prey. We look for things that are a little bit weaker, but we know that we have the ability to conquer. No man's going to go after something that's going to conquer them, because in that case, we become the prey and the woman becomes a predator. And that's a situation where you never want to be in.
So are you saying then that if a woman pursues a man, is not likely to work out as opposed to a man pursuing a woman because we're the man who's fine?
No, I'm saying she can pursue a man, but she has to pursue a man in the means of a loving pursuer. There's a difference between wanting to be pursued while pursuing and wanting to be a hunter, and you're going to hunt to control. That's a difference. See, a lot of people pursue to control. Control is one of those situations where you're not operating in a lovable situation. You're operating in a dominating situation.
Right. Okay, stand by. Sir Ben, we're going to ask you to stand by. Let me go to Ms. J. Ms. J, I want to bring you in. Ms. J, do you find that breaking certain traditions to go pursue a man? I mean, if we look at the spiritual aspect of it, it says the man that findeth. So when it comes to that, how do you feel about that you're going to pursue a man? And I can tell you, any woman that's ever pursued me, it's never – this is just my experience now. I'm not saying that you all have the same thing. But I've reflected on my life, and any woman that's ever pursued me, it's never worked out for me. It was short span. It was short-lived. But it's like we're the predators. We're the chasers. And it's like I gotta get this woman. And it's like – but when they came at me, it was like something to do. And I say that with all due respect to all my listeners tonight. So, Misty, I want to ask you, do you find yourself having gone out there to pursue a man?
You know, I'm glad you brought that up because I believe that a woman should be pursued, you know, because a woman shouldn't be caught, have to run out for a man and be caught in a vulnerable position where, you know, not nothing negative about the man, but, you know, she needs, that's what I'm trying to say here, she needs to know that man wants her before she gives herself to him and, you know, our body and soul. And I just think that that's the right way to go myself. I don't know whether that's old school or what, but, you know, but now I'm finding out the men, they won't tit for tat, okay? If I call you, you need to call me. If I text you, you text me. And they just sit back and wait, and, you know, they're not pursuing ladies these days. They want to be pursued.
Okay. Well, Ms. A, we certainly do appreciate that. Let me go to another one of our callers. Let's go to Suzanne. Suzanne, I want to know, I mean, if a man is not pursuing you and you like this guy, he's tall, dark, and handsome, and, I mean, just drop-dead gorgeous, are you going to go after that man? What do you do?
No, not necessarily. I might be friendly to him and to see what he's all about, but I like to be pursued.
Okay, so is there a difference, Suzanne, just before you leave us here, is there a difference between being pursued and, you know, some women play hard to get, and it's like, who's got, some men, we just don't have time for running behind a woman when there's so many of you all out there. So if we give you that attitude, like, you playing hard to forget, and we just say, well, forget it. How do you handle that?
Well, you're not worth it, because I know I'm worth every bit of the chase.
Man, we certainly do appreciate that. We're going to ask you to stand by. Lady C, I mean, you know, Lady C, I know you keep it real. You know, is Suzanne on something when she says the person is not worth that chase? Do you feel that way as well, Lady C?
Is the person not worth that chase? Okay,
well,
I don't know if I can tell you if I can feel, you know, if I feel the same way. Because...
Yeah.
When it comes to
Are you going
to
run behind a man, Lady C?
Huh?
Are you going to run behind a man? I mean, if he's drop-dead gorgeous, and I mean, it's just like, wow.
I'm going to tell you this, and I can only be honest, okay?
Okay, please do.
Me, I'm not chasing a guy that I like. Now, he's going to have to chase me. But if him and I decide to just start dating, you best believe I'm going to pursue the crap out of them. You know? That's me. Because I am the type
really?
Of person to be like, if you want to chill, I'm calling you up. Let's go. You know? I am an initiator. I know it's bad. I'm always the one that initiate everything. It's just who I am.
Uh-huh.
You know? But the
right.
moment I see that pursuing stop, I stop. And I
really?
Let it go.
So it's kind of conditional. All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. We're going to let's bring in Sister Marva. Sister Marva, thank you for joining us this evening. It's a pleasure to have you. What are your thoughts on this here, loving the unlovable? And, I mean, do you want a man to pursue you, or are you okay with pursuing the man?
Good evening, Dr. Walker and everyone. I would say no. I would not chase a man. I would not pursue him. I would not even speak to him, you know, initially. Especially if I like him. I would see if he would approach me. And
well,
if he doesn't, then I know he...
Huh? I mean, if all these ladies have you, how do you expect him to approach you and you like him? I mean, what's wrong with that?
Well, if he doesn't approach me, he has someone else. That's how I see that. If he doesn't approach me, he has someone else. And yes,
right.
I have fallen for a beautiful man, a half Spanish, half black man, and I fell like a ripe fruit off the tree for him.
Really?
And I pursued him, yes. Nothing happened. I pursued him for 3 years, and it was just, it didn't go where I wanted it to go.
Uh-huh.
He took everything I had to give to him. He never gave me anything. He never gave me a candy. He never gave me nothing. So I was the man or the male, and he was a female.
My goodness.
But
how long did it take you to wake up? You said you were pursuing him for 3 years.
3 years.
Why
did it
take
me
so
to
long?
Wake up and say, this guy is not going to, you know. But he's sweet. He's a nice guy.
So, Suzanne, let me bring Suzanne back in. Suzanne, I got to ask you this question. I mean, if the guy is that sweet, good looking, I mean, is it just because his looks you want to just have your arms wrapped up in his?
Looks are not everything. You got.
So, Suzanne, are you telling me the man that you, is it possible if you're with a man now, he doesn't look that good? What are you saying, Suzanne?
The man I have is fine. Smart, very intelligent, funny, and I enjoy being with him.
Thank you, Suzanne. Let me tell you, this is Sir Ben, let me bring you in. Because oftentimes you say that people be lying. You know, they lie when they come on the show. Do you think that sometimes the men and the women are lying when they're saying that the women say they're not pursuing a man? And can you see that? Would you want a woman to pursue you, Sir Ben?
Yep.
You would?
Yep.
Really? Why?
Why not?
Okay.
I mean,
how else
are you going to really get to know who's interested in you and who's not? I mean, let's just take for instance, if I'm going through my normal routine,
right,
yada, 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 and just doing things, maybe I'm busy, you know, growing the businesses and just keeping things moving, and maybe my mind is not set on just, you know, catching somebody's eye. So then what happens? One day someone says, hey, you know, you're a really nice looking man. You just caught my eye because, in my ear, because I wasn't looking for that. And so sometimes, I keep saying planting seeds. Sometimes, ladies, you gotta throw some seeds out there to catch some birds. I mean, men don't always think about those kind of things.
Interesting.
When we find what we find, we look at the
Walker.
Find, then we start pursuing. We will start pursuing.
Okay. Right. So, Sir Ben, if you're married now, would you say that you pursued your wife or she pursued you? I mean, just for the record.
She initiated the conversation. I wasn't interested in no one at that time. I really wasn't. And because that's just where I was. I was okay. I was fine. I was happy. And because of the fact that she initiated the conversation, it changed my thought about where I was in that situation.
Okay. All right. That's interesting. Quite interesting. We're going to take another call now. We're going to go to Brian. Brian, I mean, this is just, I'm hearing shocking information tonight. I mean, I'm a man who I believe in pursuing a woman because if she comes after me, it's like, that's too easy. Brian, just give us your spiel on some of this here.
Well, Doc, thank you for having me. I pursued my wife, like she always say to my children now, that I stalked her. And I did stalk her. 15 years later, we still happily married, and I love her to death. And I wouldn't trade that stalking for anything.
Well, see, that's awesome. So, Brian, I want to ask you, do you think, I mean, Brian, are you the guy, kind of guy who, have you ever had a woman to pursue you? And if so, how did that work out?
No, I never had a woman to pursue me. And like the other caller said, I don't think I would want a woman to pursue me because I don't want to be
Hello, is everybody still there?
Yes. Miss J, where are you?
I don't know. It blanked out.
Oh, okay. Okay, yes, we're here. So, Miss J, the question becomes, I mean, when we talk about, you know, loving the unlovable, and, I mean, Lady C, really, when you're saying, Lady C, that you were not in love with your husband, you know, and he knew that, did he? He pursue you, or you really like him?
I pursued him. I'm not gonna lie. I pursued him. He's the only man I ever pursued.
Okay, he's the only man that you ever pursued. So you pursued him, and it didn't work out.
Right. Yes, and the sad thing is, I premeditated the whole thing on how I was gonna pursue him.
All right. All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. We have Stephanie's going to be joining us. This is Brian's wife, and we want to say to all our customers, I mean all of our married couples who might be within close proximity, this show is not responsible if somebody gets a pan knocked aside their head. So I want to make sure I go on record for saying that. So we're going to bring in Stephanie. She's the wife of Brian. Stephanie, I want to ask you just a few questions. Brian came on the air, and he let all of our callers around the world know that he pursued you, and 15 years later, it sounds like he's happily married to you. And he, in fact, he said the words, he stalked you. Did you have an interest in him at all when he initially approached you?
Hi, good evening, everyone. Initially, I didn't want to be bothered. but eventually, I guess he bothered me so much so I had to give in. Between the flowers, the candy, the dinners, and one thing led to another. And I can honestly say 15 years and counting, I wouldn't change a thing.
So, Stephanie, would you say that today's man may give up too easy? He should be probably more like Brian was to pursue that woman. And then there's a good likelihood that he could get the woman if he just doesn't give up so easily.
I definitely agree, because if he had given up too soon, that would have showed me that he really didn't want to pursue me. So it was definitely worth the effort in him trying to keep coming by my desk, coming by my job, sending the flowers, bringing the candy. It wore me down, and I'm glad he did.
So, Stephanie, we want to know, how long did it take, this stalking? How long did it take before you finally say, you know what, this guy is not going to stop. He's bugging me. How long did it take?
I want to say at least 7 to 8 months he stalked me. And I really didn't want to be bothered with this guy. He was getting on my nerves. You got to understand, somebody just constantly, constantly bothering you, you have to, you know, take a step back and go, okay, he must really be interested. And he wasn't really my type either. You know, I was looking for someone that was tall, dark, and handsome. And here this guy comes. He's, you know, 5'6", 5'7", and good looking. She's fine.
Okay. So, Stephanie, before you, we're going to ask you to stand by, but I do want to know what message, because sometimes we get the callers that will come on the show, and they have this image that they prayed for God to send this man, this certain man, 6'7", and so forth and so on. And then sometimes the men are not as tall. But then could they be missing out on their blessing?
Absolutely. Because what I was looking for was an image like my father. My father was, I want to say, 6'2", 6'4", very tall, dark and handsome. And so I knew what kind of man my father was, and I think that's what I was looking for. And all the while, the person that was stalking me was the total opposite, but he had his mannerism like my dad. So, you know, you kind of had to take the good with the bad. So, yeah.
All right. Stephanie, we're going to ask you to stand by. Brian, we're going to bring you back in shortly. But just before we do, Miss Jay, I got to bring you in here because sometimes, I mean, I agree that people can be missing out on their blessings sometimes because they're expecting this package, and God could have sent them this package where if they got that 6'7" guy in this case, he might have been a demon from hell. And then, like Stephanie's saying, she's happy that he did not stop pursuing her. So, Miss Jay, would you say that you can relate to anything like that with your marriage, perhaps?
Yes, I definitely can. I was pursued also. Matter of fact, my husband, after 3 months, he was the first one to tell me that he was in love with me. And I'm like, oh, you are? And he did all kind of nice stuff and all that. And, you know,
really?
He made me – he was a little different, too. He's not a lot older, but he was older than me. I was 17. He was 20, 21. And I was a little young girl, nervous. I was in college. But I was nervous, you know, this older guy, you know, attracted to me. But what got me was his communication, communicating with me. I love a man with a good conversation. And so that just took over all the looks and all that, too, which I agree with Stephanie on that. And it lasts for 39 years till death do us part.
Wow, that is awesome. That is awesome. I want to bring Brian back in now. And, Brian, I like what you had to say that. I like what your wife said, Stephanie, that she is glad that you did not give up on your pursuit of her. And, Brian, what message would you give to men who are listening out here that men probably like I used to be, where it's like, if this woman didn't give me the time of day, I just say forget her and move on. And then the blessings that we probably could have missed out on.
Like you said, excuse me, I was just pursuing in my way that when I saw Steph, I said, that was the woman I want to be with. But let me get you, we've been together 20 years, but married 15. So we've grown together as a couple, and we've grown together as people. So I think my pursuit and finding the mate God has blessed me with. Because, like you said earlier, when you find a woman, you find a good thing. And Stephanie is my good thing. And I won't change that for the world. So I'm glad that I pursued her. I'm glad if I stalked her. I'm glad she didn't call the police. I'm glad of all of it. So if she would have called the police, you know, I would have took it. They would have threatened me or whatever. I would have kept on going back. I would have kept on, you know, going by her mama house, you know, doing what I had to do. And I did that. I'm not going to lie. I stalked her, and she's my number one right now. So I wouldn't, you know, change it for the world. And I thank God that he let me pursue it without nothing happening to me. He put that protection around me. So I thank God for that. So, you know, Stephanie is my everything. And, you know, hopefully another 15, 30 years, I could come back on and help somebody. But if you see somebody you want to be with, I don't know young we got them on here, but young brothers, if you see it, that, you know, texting, they don't get it. You got to, like the young lady said earlier, you got to talk to her. You got to give her some conversation. And once you give her some conversation, maybe she'll, you know, loosen up and try to talk to you. But texting and this Facebook, that ain't how we made, you know, make it like this now. But, you know, if it's in your heart, go for it and don't you give up. Thank you, Doc.
Okay. Listen, I want to ask both of you all a question. I know we're staying with Brian and Stephanie just for a moment. And Stephanie, I want to bring you on first. And again, this show is not responsible for any pots or pans that are hit upside the head because one of the parties incriminated themselves. And you all often hear me say that on the show. But Stephanie, when there are times when he's maybe not when he's unlovable because you might be upset with him, how do you find the strength to love him, to know that you love him?
Prayer. You know, you have to pray through a lot of things nowadays. You have to take the good, the bad, and the ugly. And, you know, if the good outweighs the bad, then, you know, you take a step back, take a deep breath, you know, communicate as always, and you just move forward because a lot of things aren't done intentionally. And you know the difference between intent and, you know, something that's not intentional. So take a deep breath before you chop someone's head off, you know, because some things are done by mistake, you know, and mistakes are made often. And so I don't know any relationship or marriage that's perfect, but you can get through it, you know. You definitely can get through it. Just communicate.
And I want to be able to ask Brian the same question. Brian, those days when you just want to run away, perhaps, that you're not really liking her. And we understand people are in love, but sometimes you just don't like each other for the moment. So how do you make it through those moments? And, Brian, again, we caution you, be careful what you say because women have memories like elephants. They don't forget. So we caution you, Brian.
Dr. put me on the spot. Well, when I do something wrong, like Steph said, we're not perfect. And if we get into an argument, I'll go to my quiet place to gather my thoughts. And I'm a big cigar smoker. I'll light one up. I don't smoke the whole thing because it'll take too long. I'll smoke half of it. Then I go. We'll sit down and talk. She'll say her squeal, say mine. We'll meet in the middle, give each other a kiss and a hug, and we always promise each other, do not go to bed angry. Do not go. We made that vow when we got married. We'll not go to bed angry because one might not wake up, and then you can't get that back. So we made a promise. We're not going to go to bed angry. We'll stay up and get angry at the other, but we won't go to bed angry. So we'll finish it. If whatever time we have to stay up all night, we'll iron it out till, you know, till we come to a type of an agreement that we still love each other. So we made that vow. Thanks, Doc.
Yes, sir. So, Suzanne, I want to bring you in. And I'm going to ask our audience tonight, and if you want to chime in, you can press 1 on your dial. You're going to the queue. And, Suzanne, the question becomes, it sounds like after listening to Brian and Stephanie, it almost sounds as if any marriage could really work if you really work it, if you really take the time to invest into it, to bring meaning and purpose. Suzanne, what are your thoughts on something like that? After hearing this, this sounds like a lovely couple presenting that 15 years after this man stalked her so long. I mean, it sounds like it was worth it.
Yes, I believe it was worth it. For me, like I said, I want to be stalked, okay, or pursued more or less, not stalked, but pursued. I want my man to come after me. And if he really wants me, he won't give up.
You know, when we talk about that, loving the unlovable, you know, it's almost as if, you know what, that's hearing from Brian's story tonight, it sounds like that's what men have done in the past, and they seem to be missing something now because they seem to give up easily now instead of really pursuing the woman. And I believe that, like Miss J said earlier as well, and as Susan is saying, and also with Stephanie saying tonight, they want to be pursued, and Stephanie's saying she's glad that he didn't give up. And Suzanne is saying that she wants to be stalked or pursued. And so, Ms. Jayan, we heard what you said with your 39 years of marriage because your husband did pursue you till death do you part. So, I mean, I want to bring Lady C in now. Lady C, today's time, would you find yourself pursuing a man, or would you really want to align yourself where he can maybe see you and go after you?
No, I had stated earlier that, you know, at the beginning, I don't pursue a guy to get him to like me. You know, I don't do that because me, I'm not the type that would just go and holler at a guy and say, I want you. But I am a pursuer. That's what I'm saying. I am a pursuer. You know, so me and a guy start dating. I know he has interest in me and we exchange numbers. I'm the initiator. I'm going to pursue. I'm going to do more pursuing than the guy pursues. That's just who I am. Because just like Benny said, you know, I need him to understand that I want him. But I need him to show me he want me too. Both people have to pursue each other to make this work. Even with my children's father, I was the pursuer with him. He was the only guy I literally pursued to wanting to get us together. But once we got together, we both pursued each other.
Okay. All right. That makes sense. But you just never fell in love with him in all the pursuing.
I just never fell
did.
In love with him. Exactly. But I do love him. I love him. I love him to death. He's my best friend. He stays with me when he comes in town.
Okay. Wow. That's interesting. I mean, it is. So if you have a man now, right, I'm just saying here, since you put it out there, and you're saying that your ex-husband can come and stay with you, how would your man feel about that? I'm just asking a question, and I'm whispering that question.
My children's father understands that, you know, if I have a boyfriend, if I'm dating someone, if I'm a boyfriend, I don't really call it do that boyfriend stuff. But if I have someone I'm dating, he'll know about it, you know, because he only comes once a year. Any of my guy friends, if I decide to 100% date them, they will understand that he comes in town. Now, if I found someone 100% serious, that'll stop. I'll let my children's father know you got to find you somewhere to stay.
Wow, that's interesting. So I don't mean to be pry, but I'm sure people want to know is he paying all the bills to get that privilege?
He don't pay any bills. This is my place. So he doesn't live here, guys. Let me explain something. You know, it's not that he stayed. When I say in town, this is a man who lives 10 hours away. So when he comes and he stays, visit his children, my children, I don't get, he has family here as well. But his family, the way they live, I don't approve of my children staying there. So what do? I provide a home for him to come stay here so he can spend as much time with his children. I know some people around me always tell me something, you know, it's wrong of me to do that, but I like the safety of my children. And he and my children's father understands that. You know, it's
so
the safety of my children.
So if he says to you, you know, just reflecting, and he says, honey, can you fix me some dinner? Are you okay with all of that? And, you know,
yes,
like
I
as if you all were family. Oh, good.
I fix him dinner. He cooks me dinner. You know, we do everything. We do everything. Only thing we don't do, we're not intimate. We don't share a bedroom. We don't do anything. But we go shopping together. We go out to dinner together. We do everything together. Like I said, he's my best friend.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Marva, I want to bring you in. We're going to ask your standby lady, C. I want to bring you in, Marva. And when we talk about finding the strength to love the unlovable, would you say that's the same as finding the strength to forgive someone who's done you such an injustice?
Yes.
Okay.
It's very hard.
How so?
it has to come from deep within you. And it has to take, I think it takes steps, little steps and time for you to forgive someone who's harmed you or to love the unlovable.
Okay. All right. We're going to give you all several scenarios. We're going to start with Sir Ben with the first scenario. Sir Ben, how can you, I mean, we saw on television where without calling her name, the young lady who was shot and that killed the young man because she thought that he was in her apartment, according to the news. And this was the police officer. And it turns out that it was not her apartment, but in the courtroom, the brother of the deceased asked if he can give her a hug. And they shed tears. I mean, she did. Then how could it be expected that, let's say, the mother who loses a son that way could be expected to love, find the strength to love or to forgive the unlovable or what it appears to be at that time? What would you say to that?
I would say that that's the experience that the brother, that was his freeing. See, everybody has a way of coping with things. And so in order for him to move forward in his life, he had to first forgive her to move forward. Because if you don't forgive someone, if you don't forgive a person, even though they've done something heinous to you, if you don't forgive them, then you are allowing yourself to be unforgiven. And believe me, I don't want to be in a situation where I don't want to be unforgiven, because mm-hmm. we all need grace and mercy throughout our lives. But that is a personal release for him. And everybody deals with it differently. Everybody has their own time in which they're able to come to that conclusion. But I try, in my own personal experience, I try to forgive very, very quickly and move on past that, because my life is always forward moving. If you say something crazy to me at 12:01, at 12:01, 59 seconds, I already forgave you and moving on. That's relationships, businesses, things you done did, people that, whatever. If you try to hurt me, say bad things, I forgive you and move on, because I'm not here to fight with anybody. I'm here to love everybody, even though everybody doesn't love me.
Mm-hmm. So, Ms. J, let me bring you in. Ms. J, I mean, how do you just, when somebody does you so wrong, and we're talking about finding the strength, and we talked about forgiveness on the show. We had three shows on that last week. And that forgiveness part can be really devastating. It's almost like to get to that part. How do you find the strength for our listeners tonight to just say, well, you know what, I got to do this and mean it?
Well, but first of all, I got to pray on it. I have to ask God to give me the strength. And then after that, I think that I have to act on it. I have to try to give kindness and love if I don't love the person they did me wrong, but a sincere kindness and understanding and appreciation of what they may have been going through, and just pray that the Lord could be with them. And just try to, and just not let them steal my joy. You just have to do that.
We're almost out of time tonight. We're going to, our producers have told us that we've got to go until 8:00 tonight, because we've got some upcoming shows that we want you all to know about. So, ladies, she will close us out in about 5 minutes. She will close us out on finding the strength to love the unlovable. And just before she does that, we'll come back to her in about 4 minutes. Marva, I want to bring you in, and you've had an experience where you've had to find the strength to love the unlovable or to find the strength to forgive someone that wronged you. You want to tell us about that?
Yes.
All right, go ahead.
You're talking about my brother-in-law that did to me when I was 13.
Yep. If you choose to bring that out. Right. And how long did it take you?
I think several months. Several months. I was angry for a good many years that it happened to me, even though I had forgiven him. I was angry that it happened to me. I felt marred. I felt, but as the years went by and I lived with him and his family and my family, I realized that he was drunk. He was drunk because in his normal state, he is a very, very pleasant man and does really nice things. And so I was able to completely forgive him. And when he died and his coffin was going out, I touched him and said goodbye. I touched the coffin and I said goodbye. And there was no animosity. There was no, I didn't even remember the incident, actually. Mm-hmm. So.
Right. Well, Marva, we're so sorry that that happened to you. And thank you for sharing that. I want to bring another scenario in. We talk about finding the strength to love the unlovable or finding the strength to actually forgive, and that can be part of it. And I want to bring Brian in just for a second and ask him the question that, let's say, for example, Brian, someone, I mean, all of us love our mothers, and all of a sudden, let's say maybe back in high school, if somebody talked about your mother, those are like fighting words. And so, I mean, how do you get past that to become friends with somebody who's really called your mother all kinds of names, and you find the strength after you beat their behind? I mean, how do you be friends with them again?
That's a tough question because you know how people are with their moms, you know. That's the first lady that you love. So I don't know. That's a tough question, honestly. If I could ever forgive somebody for disrespecting my mom. You know, I lost my mom 18 months ago, and I don't know. My mother was the world to me, and to this day, I don't know if I could ever forgive anybody that did anything to her, because she was the star in my eye, the twinkle, whatever you want to say. And you're saying to forgive, it probably take me a while, you know, to forgive somebody, but it's going to be a long while, honestly, Doc.
Well, Brian, we're certainly sorry about your loss. You sound like a man after my own heart. I lost my mom over 25 years ago in a car accident. And, I mean, it's devastating. That was my best friend. And you're right. That's the first woman that we really love. And it's almost like, I mean, it's hard to get over that. I didn't even like my father because he was abusive to my mom. And it's like the moms, and you all have often heard me say this on the airwaves, that the moms are like gods on the planet. For some reason, they have to have the highest respect, the highest love, and everything. And that is because they're like the gods. And when you go against the god on the planet, especially your mom, who could have even aborted you, but she chose to go through that birth for whatever reason, and they come, and science shows us that a woman comes so close to death when she gives birth to a child. So, I mean, to all the mothers out there, every day is really Mother's Day. You all are the most special beings on the planet. And that's not a disrespect to men, but I think that all of us as men, we really realize that. So I want to just bring one more scenario before we close the show tonight. And I want to be able to ask, I want to bring Stephanie back in and ask this question before Lady C closes us out tonight. And we're talking about finding the strength to love the unlovable, or or is almost like a form of forgiveness. If the scenario is where someone, let's say Stephanie, does something to your child, I mean, it's almost like, I mean, how do you find the strength if someone, let's say, slapped your child, an adult woman slapped your child, do you find the strength to forgive that person? And it happened to be your friend, or it could have been a relative that slaps your child. Because I saw my mom fight a lady my brother was bad. He was little, but he ran home, and it was her friend that ran after him. And my mother was this Christian woman. But when she, my brother's mama, and running home, and my mother jumped out of that house and was beating this lady. She wasn't praying. She was beating this lady down. We had to pull her off of her. So, Stephanie, I want to ask you, would you be that Christian woman and say, let's have a time out, let's pray about this situation? What would you do, Stephanie?
Ooh, I'm going to take a deep breath on that one. Anybody hit my child? That's a rough one because I don't even let Ryan touch her. So I do most of the scolding, and to have somebody else hit her, yeah, it would definitely take me a while to forgive anyone on that. And it would have to be, I would have to definitely pray on that one. I would have to search and seek and understand what was the reason behind it. But it would take me a minute to approach that person if I don't beat them like they should be beat. I forgive everybody, you know, because I've had situations where people have done things to me and, you know, you forgive that person over and over, but my child, that's a different color horse. My child. I don't know.
I know we're out of time, Lady C. Before you close this out, I got to ask Stephanie one more question. And again, Stephanie, I'm going to caution you to your answer. And if you want to take a pass on it, the man would know the answer anyway. We've had on the show a few weeks ago that if there was you were on a ship out in the middle of the ocean and you had only two life jackets and you had to save either your husband or your child, Stephanie, the question becomes, who do you save? And all the women on the past show, they said they would save their child. But Stephanie, we want to know, who do you save, Stephanie?
I definitely would save my child because she still has a whole life to live. She definitely would flourish, you know. I'm not saying my time is up, but I would definitely let her live. And I'll visit her in my spirit. In her spirit.
No, but you had two life jackets. Yeah, you had two. So you would save your husband and your child. You would give up your life. That is the first woman that we've had ever to say that on the show. Brian, I want to bring you in. And I know we're going to close out early, but Brian, I want to bring you in. That is the first. We've had that periodically, that question on the show. That's the first time, Brian, I've ever heard any woman say that. Even when I was with my kid's mom, we had that discussion before marriage, and I understood that she would save her child, you know, and I always felt that the woman, the children belong to the mom, and the men, we really would hope we were first, but we're not first. So, Brian, the fact that your wife, Stephanie, has said this on international radio, I mean, you've got to be I don't know if it's the most blessed man or the luckiest man in the world, you know. So, Brian, your thoughts on that? I mean,
that speaks volumes of the character of Stephanie. She's a God-fearing woman. She's a God-fearing woman. She's a family woman. And she would sacrifice her life for her child. But when she said me, if I had two life jackets, it was her or my daughter, I wouldn't let both of them live, like she said, because I want to see in my spirit or in my daughter's spirit what type of young lady she's going to turn out to be, because I know God has something in store for her. And I want her mom to make sure she gets there, because she does a great job with her now. You know, I'll just ask God to just make me a piece of wood, so every time something happened, I could shake the house.
You know, Brian, thank you. I mean, you really are a man after my own heart, because I would have given up the life jackets as well. That is powerful, you all. Tonight, you've heard it live, you all. We have a very powerful. How do you find the strength to love the unlovable, or equate that to forgiving someone. And Brian and Stephanie have been on our show. I mean, they've come on tonight, and I would love to have them back again because this, they have really brought some calmness to our show tonight, especially from last night's show. And let me tell you something. They have demonstrated what our Thursday night shows are all about. It's all about relationships, and they have shown that love can work and conquer all. All right, on that note, I want to thank all of my callers tonight, my co-hosts for joining us this evening. Thank all of you all for listening, and we're going to ask Lady C to close us out. Lady C?
I just want to say, you know, when it comes to loving the unlovable, just continue on loving them. You know, don't try to choose hate. You know, hate leads you, according to the Bible, you know, hate leads you to hell, in my opinion. So choose to love that person. No matter what they do to you, you know, love them. That doesn't mean you have to deal with them. It doesn't mean you have to speak to them. It doesn't mean you have to, you know, keep them in your life because you can love a person from a distance, you know. But just continue on to love them.
All right. On that note, we are clearly out of time. We want you to join us here next Thursday for the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. We've got some heavy-duty topics coming up for you all. And next week, we're going to do the topic on the impact of making poor decisions that could lead to serious regrets. That's going to be next Thursday's show, and then you don't want to miss next Friday's show either. And then we've got next Saturday, the following Saturday morning, the 26th, we've got Miracle Prayer Day. For those of you all who are standing in the line for miracles, the miracles on this line really work. I'm a testimony to that myself. So listen, join us back here next Thursday or next Friday for the Dr. Jess Walk Show or your one-hour inspirational program. And, of course, if you choose to bypass that, we'll see you next Saturday morning for Miracle Prayer Day. Until next Thursday, next Friday, or next Saturday, I say to my listening audience around the world, good night, God bless, and thank you, God. Good night, everybody.
Good night, Dr. Walker. Good night, everyone.
Happy Father's
Day
to
the fathers. Yes, happy Father's Day. You guys deserve it.
Thank you.
Wow.